This is David Getoff, and this recording contains some of my history, as well as a bunch of facts and opinions regarding my beliefs, philosophies, or other comments on a number of topics which continually affect our lives on this planet. Of course, you may agree or disagree as you wish. One of the most important aspects of opinions is that they are simply opinions and are therefore not challengeable. One of the most important aspects of facts is that they do not change and continue to be factual, regardless of how many intelligent and highly credible people, for whatever reason, believe and insist that the facts are wrong. While growing up in New York City, I attended the Walden School, William J. O'Shea Junior High, where I was on the varsity gymnastics team and the class photographer, Louis D. Brandeis High School, and the City College of New York. I was also on the varsity rifle team at City College. My scholastic beginnings therefore started in an elite private school in Manhattan, the Walden School. The very non-traditional Walden School, I might add, on 1 West 88th Street, where everyone wore what they wanted, we had no uniforms, and we all addressed our teachers by their first names. It was a great way to start a life, and I will never forget it. Using woodworking equipment in the 5th and 6th grades with our teacher John, which today you can't even use until college because of all sorts of laws and regulations. And yet in the 6th grade I could use a table saw, radial arm saw, lathe. You can't do that in the 6th grade today. Learning to develop film and to make prints and enlargements with our science teacher, Kathy. All of these helped propagate my very inquisitive mind, which I continue to treasure and fertilize even today. At the time I attended Walden, I didn't even realize that my classmates were important people. Jennifer Bogart was Humphrey Bogart's daughter. Amy Goodman was Senator Goodman's daughter. And lots of other friends and classmates. And to me, they were just ordinary kids from ordinary families. And they were my classmates, and often also my friends. As an adult, I learned otherwise. I also didn't really care or pay any attention to the fact that my mother's closest and dearest friend, Jerry Mathau, was the ex-wife of the famous actor Walter Mathau, and that this made her kids, Jenny and David, that we saw all the time, Walter Matthau's children. As they were best friends for many, many years, we honored their wishes, and my mom and Jerry Mathau share a double gravesite and a single tombstone, as they had requested. Although my parents were extremely liberal, I consider myself to be extremely rational and factual, which is sometimes, but not always, quite different. For example, they were both very much in favor of concepts today that we call affirmative action, and I am instead very much for zero discrimination. The difference being that affirmative action is extremely discriminatory, as it does not treat all races equally, but instead gives preference to those who were previously discriminated against, so as to give them an unequal boost above the others. Basically, this is saying that two wrongs do in fact make a right, if our government says so. I disagree. The best way to stop inequality will never be to reverse it and make the other group more unequal. It will always be to truly eliminate inequality. Two wrongs still do not make a right, but as little as 2 weeks before he died, my dad's comment on this issue, when I brought it up to him out in Sedona, was, "Let's not talk about that." Our government is no longer by the people or for the people. It is now clearly by and for the wealthy and super wealthy large corporations. They can pollute with impunity. They can kill hundreds of thousands of us every year with dangerous drugs and chemicals. And then, if they happen to be discovered, they can pay fines, as all major pharmaceutical manufacturers have done over and over again, sometimes to the tune of millions or billions of dollars, and then go back to business as usual and keep on doing what they were doing. When the punishment does not fit the crime, and when corporations are allowed to be treated in the courts as people, even though they were never people, cannot be imprisoned or put to death for felonious crimes, we have actually lost. And that is where we are now. I will vote for any presidential candidate, regardless of their party, who claims that he or she will bring back our Constitution, repeal the Patriot Act, which is the least patriotic law I know of, and get rid of regulations which say that we cannot sue the people in a corporation who may be killing us because we must instead sue the corporation, which of course will never go to jail or be put to death. Global warming is another huge issue which I prefer to look at as global polluting. When will sane thinking people, I know we have a lot of them, take office in politics who care about this planet that we live on? The issue should not ever be whether there is such a thing as global warming. It cannot be that we continue to pay huge subsidies to farmers who grow genetically modified corn to be used as automobile fuel. It cannot continue that a hybrid automobile filled with thousands of pounds of toxic batteries and which will never pay back the owner in miles per gallon the amount that they had to spend while throwing out their usable car into the dump to get the new one with tax credits, and yet have one more car manufactured when the other one, in many cases, worked fine. We cannot afford to keep letting the automakers lie and tell us they cannot make far more fuel-efficient cars, since some have already proven that they can. Anyone who rents a copy of the movie documentary, Who Killed the Electric Car, will learn how, many years ago, we had good electric car technology. It was suppressed on purpose. And instead, they only decided to manufacture for the second time these cars more recently, without people realizing they were manufactured a long time ago and suppressed. This planet is our only home. Can't we simply stop destroying it for the sake of today's money, with no regard to the health of our grandchildren? Can't we stop arguing about the words and simply make more efficient cars? Use more solar and wind power. Stop giving the bad guys a slap on the wrist while allowing them to continue destroying our planet. Please at least watch the excellent documentary entitled Gasland, or the new sequel, Gasland Part 2. Two of the most important quotes, which I've used for many, many years on my website, in my lectures, in my presentations at medical schools, not medical schools, medical conferences. Number one is, what gets us in trouble is not what we don't know. It's what we know for sure that just ain't so. This is a quotation of a man named Josh Billings. It has been incorrectly attributed to Mark Twain, and it was done so by Al Gore in his movie, An Inconvenient Truth. And so this has been picked up over and over again and continually attributed to Mark Twain. I checked with the Mark Twain Society before doing this to make sure, and it is not his. It belongs to Josh Billings. And my quote number two, there is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. This is a quote, assuming it is correct, by Herbert Spencer from 1820 to 1903. He was an English philosopher. I am sick and tired. Well, not really, since I'm very healthy. I'm not sick or tired. But I am sick and tired of people, and especially supposed experts, who have never taken the time to investigate the information from the top experts on the opposing side of their viewpoints. When you know you are right, but you have never fully investigated the experts who say you are wrong, you are as bad as our politicians voting on 1,000-page bills which they have never read. Religion is another huge area, and I'm sure I'll get emails about this one. Religion is very much now like politics, even though there's supposed to be a separation between church and state. By that I mean that it has a great deal of very good, well-meaning people, both religion and politics, who are being led down the wrong path by power-hungry people at the top. One of my favorite, maybe trite sayings, is from a button that I saw a long time ago. And I found one recently, and I put it on my washing machine. The button reads, God, please save me from your followers. I truly believe that if I were able, we would need a time machine to put a number of really good and intelligent people in the same room. And for this, I might choose Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi, Jesus, Buddha, and Abraham Lincoln, but I will gladly accept email nominations to be added to this list, and I might even add them in and change it. that these very intelligent individuals would likely all agree on most things, including that their followers are decidedly not doing what they had been preaching people to do while they were alive. A God who wants followers to war against one another and force one another to only believe our way, no, our way, no, no, our way, no, no, our way, does not, in my mind, deserve the title of God. Organized religion is pitting us against one another and may be destroying our culture and our society, if not our world. I am afraid that if anybody were ever to get close to developing, assuming that this is even possible, a time machine, so something got published in, I don't know, the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal saying that this group of scientists had built this machine and had put insects or animals on it, and they had then this disappeared and then been brought back, and that they thought they were moving them backwards or forwards in time, and that they were getting close to believing that they really had a time machine. These scientists, and everyone having anything to do with their research and any of their notes, would be killed, and their notes burned, and their building destroyed, to protect all of the religious beliefs of our planet. Because if you think about it, there are only a few possibilities regarding what are proposed as facts in religion. One of those is that everything that every single religious group proposes is wrong. And there's something else that's actually true. I don't know. A second would be that one of the religions is correct and the others are all wrong. A third would be that small parts of many of them are correct and large parts of many of them are wrong. And a fourth part would be that the facts are so different from what everybody has ever been told that you'd have to put it into its own category. And religion is so powerful, and the religious groups, like the Catholic Church and others, are so powerful, and so wealthy, I might add, that the idea of a time machine possibly coming into existence that would make it possible for people to find out for a fact what things Jesus really did say, assuming that there was a Jesus, and when the earth really started having people on it? How old is it? Did we have Neanderthals and all these other different cave dwellers, which I believe we did? Or did it start, like some people say, when God created it all of a sudden? The idea that one idea that some group has, and another idea that a different group has, and a third, and a fourth, and a fifth, that they would all be exploded into smithereens as this time machine enabled people to go back in time and find out what really happened, would so terrify every religion that gobs of money would be spent to murder in the name of God? I hope not. If there is one, he wouldn't want that. She wouldn't want that. If it's an energy, it wouldn't want that. But to murder in the name of God and destroy the ability of anybody going back and finding this out, because it might not show what that particular religion wanted. It's the only way all the religions would get together, because they would all want to destroy this to protect what they are all saying. Maybe I hope nobody ever comes up with the idea of a time machine, because I wouldn't want them all to die for these reasons. Personally, I don't care if my friends, my students, or my patients are religious or not, or agnostic, or atheist, or not. And if they choose to be religious, I don't care which religion they choose. By birth, and some would say by God, I am a Kohen, or one of a group called the Kohenim, which is a high priest in the Jewish religion. They've even identified the gene in human DNA, which supposedly was altered by God when he branded or marked the Kohenim as the high priests of Judaism. This does not make me above anyone in my eyes. We should all be looked at as equals. Now, this does not mean that we have to have equal intelligence. Of course we don't. Or equal common sense. Oh my, we certainly don't have that. Most people are lacking in that area tremendously. Or equal education. It's up to you how much education you seek. Or equal finances. This is a different type of equality that I speak of. And in this different type of equality, we are all equal and should be looked at as equal. But we're not. the caste system may not be a good thing if we are to progress forwards. Just as people bow to the Queen of England, I have had a rabbi at a wedding that I attended bow to me in respect when he learned that I was a Kohen. I was floored. I had no idea what was going on. I didn't say anything. I didn't want to look foolish. I had to ask my religious friends the following week when I returned to San Diego, what happened? Why had he done this? I mean, come on. He studied for years and years to become a rabbi. I couldn't even speak Hebrew. It was the caste system. It was explained to me about the caste system and the fact that the respect he gave me was required, because just as people bow to the Queen of England, even though I am not religious at all, I do respect the rabbi for his education, but the rabbi had to give me respect because in some way that I still don't quite understand, I was above him as a high priest because I am a Kohen. I do not wish to be put on a pedestal. I would rather be everyone's equal. We are all ignorant of everything which we have not yet learned. And so we do not yet understand those areas in which we are ignorant. So, I am extremely knowledgeable about health, nutrition, aiding the body to heal itself using numerous modalities that I have studied extensively. But I am extremely ignorant of aircraft mechanics, quantum physics, as well as a heck of a lot of other areas of knowledge. I just didn't choose to pursue them. This is not a bad thing. We are not supposed to be all-knowing. Find your own passions. Become proficient in what you like and what you wish to know. But remember, one cannot easily learn anything in a field in which they incorrectly believe that they are already very well educated. You must know how little you know in order to learn more. The disaster on September 11th in New York City with the World Trade Center is yet another example of what I call ostrichitis. If we bury our heads and believe what we are fed or told, and do not take the time to once again locate the experts, not the fanatics, on the other side of the arguments, then we lose knowledge and eventually credibility. So I will simply recommend that if you are interested in facts, you should go to the Professional Architects and Engineers website, www.ae, for architects and engineers, ae911truth.org. Buy a copy of The Experts Speak, which is a DVD. Watch it with some of your friends. Make sure your minds are open. The same thing is needed in regards to the facts versus what we are told, as it applies to vaccinations, both for children and for adults. I'm not going to cover this here. I will simply once again direct you to the best experts on the side that I believe is giving us the truth. You can investigate and make your own decisions. For books, I recommend any of the following four. Vaccination is Not Immunization by Dr. Tim O'Shea. Saying No to Vaccines by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Vaccine Epidemic, which is a compilation and therefore doesn't have an author, combined by Habakkus and Holland. The Vaccine Safety Manual by Neil Miller. If you would prefer to watch a DVD, my recommendations include What CDC Documents and Science Reveals by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Vaccines, the Risks, the Benefits, the Choices, also by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Vaccine Nation by Gary Null. And Autism, Made in the USA, also by Dr. Null. If you just want a simple and easy beginning to your vaccine education, you can get that entirely for free on my website. Go to the MP3 lecture button, click on it, and listen. Listen either to the 3-part vaccines recording or the 2 NVIC recordings, that's the National Vaccine Information Center, or to the one on polio vaccine campaigns in Africa. I think after you hear any one of these, you will likely be hooked and want to learn more. Or you could go to the Important Videos button on my website instead and watch the 3-part series by Dr. Gary Null, where he's making a presentation to the New York State Assembly. In the future, I may decide to add some more to this area, or not, or to this recording. And I expect that shortly I will add a downloadable PDF of the text of everything I just said, so that you can print it out. Thank you for having an open enough mind and a desire to learn, to have listened to what some might call my ranting. Peace.